T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, won 3 Super Bowl championships with the New England Patriots, also was the general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs and the assistant general manager for the Atlanta Falcons, and that's Scott Pioli here with us. Scott, thanks for a few minutes. Appreciate the time. How are you and your family hanging up?
We are doing very well, Zach. Thanks for asking. My immediate family and then all relatives that I'm aware of, I appreciate it. Glad I finally got on here. We've been trying to get this done for weeks, man.
Well, and I also, I'm glad to hear your family's holding up well, and I appreciate you coming on, because as a young kid when I was rooting for those Patriot teams, Scott Pioli and Bill Belichick and Brady and Troy Brown and Kevin Falk, those are my guys. So I thank you in advance of the conversation.
Well, thank you, Zach. I knew by the music when you were coming in out of the intro with the, you know, with AC/DC.
Yeah, yep.
You got to be. I mean, that's all we played in Foxborough Stadium in Gillette back in the day.
So
Bill,
now,
I think it's what they're still playing.
Yeah, now it's a different era, though. Bill's still there, but as you know, Brady's no longer. When we see that move by Brady, what do you expect the Bucs to look like this year with their new quarterback?
Well, I see a team that's going to be a lot more dependable. I think there's such a dramatic difference. Even at Brady's age and as young as Jameis's, I mean, we all know that he's the greatest quarterback of all time, likely Tommy. But, you know, Zach, the thing is, with Jameis, he was so on the field on game day, unpredictable and undependable, and then even when he made those mistakes, the lack of accountability. Again, I'm not talking as a human being. I'm not beating him up as a person. But there's going to be a heightened level of accountability at the quarterback position, which is the most important position. And that is going to permeate through the locker room, and it's going to carry over to every single position and every single job on that football field. And again, you know, even though Brady's now in his early 40s, he's still an outstanding player. You know what I mean? Everyone says, well, he's not what he was 10 years ago. Well, you know, none of us are. But he's going to bring a presence and a work ethic and work habits that are going to make a big difference on that football team, Zach.
We were talking about this in the last hour before we brought Scott Pioli on. You know, me being a Patriot fan, I wasn't letting myself believe in the possibility that Tom Brady wasn't coming back. Now we know he's no longer in New England. When you got that news with your working relationship that you had with him and still knowing him well to this day, when you saw at first the post that he wasn't coming back and then the news that he was going to Tampa, what were you feeling and were you at all surprised, Scott?
You know, Zach, here's what I'll say. At this point in time, when it came to Tom and to Bill and the Patriots, you know, not being in the industry as a general manager, assistant general manager, you go back to becoming a little bit of a fan. And, you know, I'm an old man, and I'm one of those fans who, you know, I remember the day that Tom Seaver was traded, right? Now, I was a kid growing up in New York. I remember crying. I just love to see great players last with their teams. Now, that was me selfishly as a fan thinking. But the reality was I just wanted Tom and his family to be happy and satisfied, whatever that meant. And if that meant, you know, that little bit of part of me that's a fan, and I don't mean necessarily a Patriots fan. It could have been with whatever team. I just love to see players have so much longevity, you know, with the team, especially when they have success. And really, it was odd for me because, you know, I do have such a long – Bill and I not only worked together for 17 years, but, you know, Bill and I have known each other since I was in college. So I just wanted somehow for this thing to work out where everyone was happy, where Brady was happy, where Bill was happy, Robert and Jonathan Kraft were happy, And, you know, no one will ever know who all is truly happy or dissatisfied. But I was disappointed, but only from a selfish standpoint.
Just to follow up on that, Scott Pioli is here with us. And I know this is probably a difficult question for you to answer. When you get that question of, is this Bill not wanting him back or Brady wanting to move on, do you have a feel on that situation?
No, I really don't. This is the truth. Because I'm friends with both, I also know as a friend and someone who's worked together with people and in this industry, there's certain things as a friend that you also need to know when to keep your nose out of business. And even though I talked with Bill and I stay in communication with him and with Tommy and with Robert and Jonathan, to me, if they wanted to engage me in that conversation, they would have, even leading up to the decision that was being made. You know, so when I talked to them, it was more about family. It was about, you know, we would talk about football and different things. But to head down that path with close personal friends, I think sometimes you just need to know when to insert in certain conversations and not. And again, even though I've worked in the media for this last year, and Zach, I don't know how you feel. There's certain people that you know that you have conversations with where you're not really compromising your integrity in the media. There's just certain things that are going to live longer than any job, and you need to know what to stay out of, if that makes sense.
Scott Pioli here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we look at the future for the Patriots with this upcoming season at the quarterback position, I think it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. What's your feel on what the Patriots are going to do and who's going to be starting at quarterback for week one?
That's what my instincts tell me, and I think what they obviously think, I don't want to say highly of him, but they think well enough of him. He's been in the system. He's seen it for a year, and I think they're going to give him a shot. I also think that the idea of you know, having a backup that also has experience there, they're in a really good situation right now. And I also can see them going out and getting another quarterback, whether it's a more decorated veteran or in this draft. I think that their entire quarterback room is not filled yet. But I'm curious to see Stidham. You know, he was a solid player in college, and you know, I was down in Auburn and saw him play, you know, in practice when he was coming out, and he was an intriguing prospect. And the thing is, you know, what happens sometimes with players that have enough talent and enough ability, if there are good coaches around them and a good system that allows them to learn and be educated and develop, which is something that happened with Brady, you know, I'm not saying that this guy can be Tom Brady, but he has enough of the skills and the tools and the intelligence to develop. Just like, you know, there are other quarterbacks that have come out of that system that have done it. You know, the guy that played in the Super Bowl this past year out in San Francisco, you know, Jimmy G did a pretty good job of it. You know, Matt Castle had a pretty solid run as a quarterback during his time. So there's been quarterbacks that come out of that system, you know, that learn under that group of people and are taught by really good coaches, and they become, you know, good enough quarterbacks to win games in the National Football League.
Do you think Cam Newton on a one-year deal is attractive for not only the Patriots, but maybe even a team like the Chargers? Approach that with Cam's future.
Well, with Cam Newton, the Patriots thing is interesting because I've heard a lot of people talk about that. And in my mind, having spent as much time with Bill as I did, I don't see those two coexisting together. And not because the personalities and the beliefs of how the game should be played and is played, and it seems like oil and water. Now, as soon as I say that, what's going to happen next week is, you know, they'll probably sign him. But, you know, I just see them as being very different personalities and having very different approaches to the game. You know, Bill understands, he believes in football more than entertainment. Cam believes that football and entertainment are almost equal partners, and which, you know, in this day and age it is, but Bill has the soul of a football man, and I couldn't see that one working out too well. And if it did, it would have to be for probably one season.
What does a quarterback need to understand if they want to be the guy in New England and be now linked playing for Bill Belichick for the foreseeable future?
But that it's not about them. That it's about it's everyone that's a part. It's not just the quarterback. But to your point, it's more the quarterback than anybody because that is the position of focus. but about anyone who's in that program. And it doesn't matter if you're a player, if you're a trainer, if you're a coach, if you're an assistant coach, if you're the vice president of player personnel or any scout, that it's always about some greater good than yourself, and you need to be selfless and not selfish. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it in the program, and that starts at the top. You know, in terms of players, it starts at the top with the quarterback.
Scott Pioli here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. Going back to Brady, when you guys drafted him in the sixth round, and No one could have obviously predicted he would become the greatest quarterback of all time, but when you go back to that scouting, what type of player did you guys think you were getting?
Well, you know, here's what going back to that, here's what I'll say is we did not know when we picked him in the sixth round how good he was going to be. We thought he had the absolute makeup that we were looking for, and we thought he had the tools. And, you know, one of the most important things that we believe in the quarterback position is accuracy, and he was that. And I think what we thought we were getting with the player was a player that we could develop within the system that had this incredible work ethic, that was a winner, because that's what every time he played at Michigan, all the guy did was win football games. In a very difficult circumstance, you know, because remember, they were trying to run Tommy out of there and make Drew Henson the star, and he could never play. I, as a matter of fact, got to see Brady play his senior year, not only at the East-West, but I got to see him at Syracuse his senior year, where he and Henson split that game, and, you know, they defeated Syracuse. But I think what we thought we had was a player that would develop, and again, he had the makeup that was different than the other quarterbacks we had on the roster. At the time when we got there in 2000, you know, we had Drew Bledsoe, John Freeze, and Michael Bishop. And when he got there, we thought we had a guy. Again, his physical skills needed a lot of work in terms of, you know, reshaping his body, working on some technique and fundamentals, but he had a work ethic that was off the charts, Zach.
And we know how the story goes. Bledsoe gets hurt. Brady comes in. You guys win the Super Bowl, defeat the Rams. The next year, though, you miss the playoffs. You just narrowly miss the playoffs. And then the 2 years after that, you go to back-to-back Super Bowls and win both by taking down the Panthers and the Eagles. When was it, though, that you thought to yourself that Brady was great? You know, was it in that first year when he won the Super Bowl? Did you need to see him, you know, get that team back to the playoffs again to know that the decision was right to stick with Brady?
Well, here's what I think we all felt. I know how I felt was in that season, the first Super Bowl, I thought we had something special. I wasn't ready to go. Because to me, no one can be great if they just shine as a star for short term, right? To me, greatness, and the word great is thrown around far too leisurely in this league. You know, there's a big difference between great and good and very good. There's, you know, there's different levels. So I think he was going to be great? No. Did I think he had an opportunity to be great? Yes, because even after that first Super Bowl, the way that he worked, he was obsessed that he was going to prove that it was not a fluke. And, you know, during that first year, people do forget that we had, you know, we had a lot of things to protect him. We had a very good offensive line. We had a 1,000-yard rusher in Antoine Smith, who had a season who really helped protect a young quarterback. And we had an extremely opportunistic defense and special teams that helped us win games. You know, Tommy helped us win a couple of games, but there were some games where he was very average and he was still learning. But I'll tell you this, by the time we got to that second Super Bowl and that second Super Bowl win, Tommy was really starting to come into his own. But by that time, we had built a pretty darn good roster, and we knew that we had a chance to be a good football team for a couple of years.
You have many great memories with Tom Brady, and then you were on the other side of it when you were in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bring that up, because that's when I knew he was going to be the greatest of all time. When, you know, a quick story on that, so I was with the Falcons, obviously, that year that we were up 28-3. And at halftime, you know, I was, you know, wringing my hands, and I was worried to death at halftime. And I'm in this box with
really?
A bunch
you
of
were
folks.
Worried?
Oh, scared to death.
Because I was at the game, and I thought the game was over. And you know me, I'm a Patriot fan. I thought it was over.
Oh, no. Zach, you know, I knew the guy on the other side of the field, both the guys, the head coach who was going to make adjustments, and I also knew – you know, there were times that the Falcons team, you know, we started celebrating a little bit too early at other times where, you know, we just held on for dear life. But at halftime, I was in this box, and I was sick to my stomach, and, you know, there was a group of people that I was with that were also Falcons employees and scouts and front office and executives, and they were celebrating like the game was over and that the next 30 minutes was just going to be this cruise. And someone, and I didn't say anything, I was keeping to myself, but they're, you know, they're, everyone's standing up. I never left my chair, and someone said to me, "Scott, loosen up. We got this thing." And Zach, I snapped, and I turned around, and I stood up, and I said, "You guys just don't get it." I said, "That dude on the other side of the field wearing number 12 is Freddy Krueger, and he's coming back. And it's just a matter of how far he's going to come back and how many of us he's going to kill on the way. You better hope and pray that he doesn't come back all the way." And there was just this silence, and people thought I was being a buzzkill. But the truth be told, Zach, I knew what the guy had in him, and I, you know, I was scared to death. I also knew that Bill was going to make all the other adjustments, and lo and behold, you know, the second worst loss of my life—that's for sure.
Wow, what a story!
And obviously, the biggest one being 18-1.
Sure, yeah. you know what? You talked about 28-3. I'm not going to talk about 18-1. I'm not going to do that one, Scott. But be well. Thanks so much. Good luck to you and your family as we fight through this coronavirus pandemic. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Zach, and all the best and truly well wishes of health to all of the people that you love in your life. And thanks for finally making this work for me. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.